Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nancy Matz and my website, nancymatz.com. Well, as always, people have said to me, Nancy, are you always amazed? Are you always excited about everything you learn from the clientele, the people you meet, and the Blog Talk Radio show? I have skirted around many different shows, and there's so many interesting topics, but tonight is another interesting, amazing topic that I want to share with you. I had the most wonderful experience to have met so many people with past life interest that I got into hypnotherapy and learned from, the pastor I got my my ministry from, how to do past life regression work. And over the years, even though at times I would shake my head and go, wow, is that possible that this is real? The girls with experience or the demo experience, my gosh, Nancy, that was an amazing experience. I lived through that last life experience. And over the years, I had met a gal, many of you probably had gone through many courses, the Course of Miracles, and I had met a gal named Gail. And she introduced me to her son. To the day that I interviewed both of them, he had a hard time calling her mother because he said, my mother and sister are still in heaven, and I've come here to live life and the life experience with Gail. Well, I've met another amazing young woman, and she's on the line. I'm going to bring her on in a moment. And can't hear anything. Let's see here. I'm not sure I know what the problem is, everybody, but if you hit F5, if you have problems in the future, for those who can hear me, hit F5, and I'm typing it in. And you can also clean out the cookies. That's when someone has just typed in to kind of help getting online and hearing the presentation tonight. I'm going to bring a young lady on. She was introduced to me by a gal that was coaching her in business development. And Lisa had mentioned to her that I had been in the business a long time and had created a lot of avenues to learn about many different aspects of the paranormal. And part of the paranormal was past life interest and those who may have issues pertaining to this. And I think Amy is on the line now, and this is an amazing story about her having a young son. Amy, I think this is your second son we're going to talk about tonight, correct?
It is. It is my second son.
Yes, and Lisa, and we don't give any last names tonight. That's a privacy that I always insist upon. Amy may talk of other people in her family, but she only gives them the nicknames. She is on the East Coast in Virginia, so I applaud her for staying up late. She's a young lady who has young kids, and I suspect that 10 o'clock is way past her bedtime even to think of getting on this show. But I want to share with you that I want to give the call-in number tonight, and while we need to allow her at least 15 minutes to tell this amazing story about her child, when she connected with me, she said, Lisa thinks that you can help me with my deal with my son. Now, over the years, one of the areas I'm very good at is understanding children's developmental issues, helping mothers understand the problems that children have in high school, all kinds of interests, the talents we're born with and how to develop them, so on and so forth. So Lisa thought that maybe Amy would get a little bit more information about her child. Well, when we started talking, I was flooded with all kinds of amazing pictures of this young child in a past life. When she started telling me that, well, this is where I should stop talking and allow Amy, I know she's laughing, but, you know, if I tell too much, we won't hear her. She has the most beautiful voice, and she's young, and she has the energy. Hopefully she's awake. Get that coffee right next to you, girl. I want to at least give her about 15 minutes. Normal show time is 60 minutes, but I let the station know that I wanted 90 minutes. Don't have a heart attack, Amy, but what I don't want is someone asking me a question at 7:59 and us not be able to answer it. So my guest call-in number, everybody who might be listening to this, and I'll repeat it when she gets done, is area code 347-205-9071. And, of course, the switchboard, which you cannot see, allows us to have five call-ins at once. So she's taking slot number one. And tonight we're going to talk about past life or reincarnation. And I know some of you may say, wow, I don't know if I'm yet to come to grips with that. And all my life I never really did. But after getting into the metaphysics and past talking to my clients, the pastor teach me how to do past life regression work, getting into this was absolutely amazing. So, Amy, you got the next 15 minutes, and then we'll start allowing callers come in. Either you can answer them, or I'll help you answer them and see what this is all about. You got the air, Amy. Go for it.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you, Nancy. It's just when I was first introduced to Nancy, I think it was just a few short months ago, probably September, October, around that time frame. And my husband and I were literally in a fetal position the night before, just crying. And we're not overly emotional people, sleep deprived, yes, because of two little boys, but we just did not know what to do with our youngest son, who was 4 at the time. And things had been going on all of his life, but probably right about the age of 2, he would say things, or you would talk to him, and instead of being a parent-child relationship, it was almost as if I was talking to my equal. And, you know, it just floored us, and we were having so many problems. And as a parent, you just don't know what to do. You want the best for your children, and our hearts broke, because even though, you know, we try to be a loving family, and you know, there were no bonding issues. I actually stayed at home with my children. They came to work with me. You know, we didn't do daycare. We really, really tried to have a loving, supporting, you know, environment and family around and things like that. And we did our best. And still, he acted as if he was, he had bonding issues. He was just not, at times he acted as if he was abused or had ADD or ADHD or some kind of, problem. And later on, I actually have a friend who has a son who's autistic, and we would talk, and, you know, the symptoms were very much the same. So I would go online, do some research, and very much similar, but it was never quite right. And as a parent, you have a gut instinct about your children. And I just didn't feel like it was a medical problem, but knew that in order for him to have a good life, and like I said, you wanted the best life ever for your children, that we needed to do something. And I just didn't feel like it was anything that was going to be in the normal scope. I would grab at straws, get all the information that I possibly could. At the same time, I was doing some business development and things like that. And at the time that I spoke to Lisa that day, I really could care less about my business. And I made a decision to just focus on my son at that time, just because something had to be done. And my husband and I just honestly didn't know what it was going to do, what we were going to do, anything. And when I spoke with Lisa, I just, you know, told her, and that I just didn't care about anything else. And as I started, I think I said maybe 5 words, and Lisa said, "I have somebody who can help you. Let's try to get her on the phone, because I think you've got something here that we can help you with." And a weight, honestly, at that moment in time was just lifted. And then we left a message for Nancy, and Nancy called me back, and I had never spoken to Nancy before, but within the first 5 minutes of talking to her, and I'm looking at the notes right now, you mentioned, you know, previous life, past life regression, head trauma, acts as if he's autistic, but he's not, he's highly intelligent. All the things as a parent that I worried were going on in this life were things from this past life. All the things that he said about his, he had another family, he had basically 10, there were 10 children in this family, and he was so worried about the baby, things like that. And I can go into that as well before I start skipping around. But within just a few minutes, everything that I had feared, didn't say anything, Nancy told me about, and I, just a big sigh of relief was, oh, thank goodness, somebody understands and somebody can help us. So I listened to Nancy, and we scheduled an appointment, and what was going through my mind was not only my child was going to be helped, but how many parents that I talk to on a daily basis or run into are going through the same thing, because they just felt, we felt so alone, and I know that there's other parents out there that are going through the same thing. So definitely I appreciate this opportunity. But my son would, you know, go about his business and play with my other son and just have a good old time, and was actually normal, nothing wrong, just, you know, two little funky boys. And then all of a sudden his voice would change a little bit. He would, his demeanor would change. His actions, his mannerisms were that of, instead of a child, but of an adult. And to me, I got the impression of like a 35 to 40-year-old man. And those are the conversations at that point in time that we would have.
He would tell me, or let me interrupt here, just
sorry,
so we don't forget something. No, don't. You're doing a wonderful job. I want to make sure the audience knows about how old did he start talking.
2 years
and
old.
2 years old. Now, curious, about what age did he start having sleep disorders? At what age did he get frustrated as in acting like he was in a body versus a man's body, or what I would say adult body? And what? How old was he, do you remember him start communicating to you of his loss and past life?
He was 3 years old when he started to communicate about his, when the whole other house, Maryland cars and things like that. I just thought it was a game, you know, that they were playing. But that was, he was about 3 years old. I remember at about two, things were always kind of off a little bit, but he really started to communicate verbally really well, probably about the age of two, I think. When I really started to notice it, and again, I've got two boys, I'm home with them all the time, we're always doing things, and when I started to notice it, he was actually about four and a half when my other son started school, because it was just he and I. So instead of, you know, my two little boys playing together or the three of us and you've got a lot of banter going back and forth and just a lot of energy, it was just he and I. And so we would sit down and play a game and all of a sudden, or be driving along, and without that third person there, it really hit me hard. So I don't know if I wasn't paying attention before, or if it really started to bother him at that time. But it really got intense a couple of months ago when he was about four and a half.
About four and a half. It makes me think that when we talked before, you had told me that he had some sleeping disorders and that he would be sleeping at night and be screaming and crying and all kinds of things going on, and there's no way to appease that.
That was always.
Pardon me?
That was pretty much always, I think.
Always.
I can remember.
At what age did he start telling you of the past life? And did he bring in any drawings, or did he try to explain to you, which is very instrumental here, about how much he did remember?
He started having problems sleeping from what I can remember and really telling me about it. He always really protested. But probably last summer, so it's maybe been about a year, he was about four and a half years old, to where he absolutely hated going to sleep. And especially, you know, and I think most kids do, they want to be in their parents' beds, but he would not go to sleep without this little ritual of putting special things, special places to help him feel secure. He would actually take his favorite toy of the day and put it in his pillowcase, shoved all the way in, so that he, it was like a security thing for him. I felt so bad. But really started talking about the other houses, the other house, the car, and especially the children and the baby that he had to save. That was probably August or September of last year. And I am very into art. I always have, you know, probably won't have groceries, but I always have crayons, paint. You know, we're very into that with them, and I always have tried that my older son loves to draw and paint. The child that we're talking about was just very intimidated about drawing and would hate to draw. After I spoke to you, we actually sat down and I would take his hand and we would make little doodles, and then I would let go of his hand and he would draw certain things and we would talk about certain things. He would talk, I would write the words that he said on this drawing, and slowly as I showed him that it's okay to draw, because he felt, it felt like he was abused, like somebody told him that he was no good, that he was just bad, not worthy. And at night, he said that that's when it got worse. He would, when he went to sleep, that's when these ghosts, and I believe it was five bad ghosts, one good ghost, and with the good ghost was the baby, which are different from these children that he would talk about. The baby was the same, but the ghosts were different.
This is the first time I've heard you say that, that there was a ghost of a child. Mm-hmm. You think it was memories during the dreams of these people he lost? Or?
I don't know. As things have come out, as he's drawn pictures, and then he'll tell me what to write. So basically we have these stories. He has the drawing, and then verbatim, he'll tell me words, and I'll write those words down, and
mm-hmm.
we'll take those and actually hang them on the wall. And so
okay.
that's kind of a step forward for him. For him. But
uh-huh.
That first night that we spoke, even before the reading, I went in and told him that, not that I understood, but his daddy and I were there, and we're going to help in any way possible to get this baby, to help him do what we can do. I wasn't promising anything, you know, because I wouldn't lie to him, but we were there to help him in any way possible. And that child also, that night, it was like he had the most peaceful sleep that I have ever seen him have in a long time.
The night that you told him you now believe.
Right, exactly.
After we had talked.
Sorry.
I got a couple of questions. They're typing in.
Mm-hmm.
The sleeping problem you did, Karen asked, why is it that he has sleeping problems? And we believe, after our conversation together, that because he was an infant, small boy, up to the time he could communicate what was going on, he probably had past life memories that came and flooded in his conscious mind as past life. Like he'd go to sleep and he would have memories and not be able to process it as a 3-year-old or younger or even up to 4 years old when you finally dealt with it. And I've heard of this happen before. We've actually had other people say that they have had, typing in the chat room, that they've also had a lot of disturbing dreams as children. And then it's gotten better over time. And I would address that one person in here said a child had, now 13, had these kinds of memories and had forgotten them. And over the years of talking to moms like you and people who have past life memories that have come back after 20, 30, 40 years, that it seems like when we enter school, and I call it the age of reason, when a child can then start making decisions on their own, it seems like those memories are buried as they interact with society more and more. It's not that it becomes important. It's that the friendship with other kids on the playground or developing how to ride a bicycle seems to take over. It was kind of interesting where we were talking before about the little boy talking and getting excited with you that you would believe him, that there was something going on. And then he wanted to talk to you more about it. And what I'm kind of building up here is to, first off, don't tell me religious background, but how did you both feel before I talked to you? How did mom and dad here feel about the idea, not of your son, but in your normal life? Did it ever come to you to think about reincarnation? Or when we talked and you started dealing with this, did it come that, gosh, there could be something going on? How did you two, priorly to this, feel about reincarnation?
It was something that I honestly never really thought about. I believe in, and I'm such a novice, so you'll have to forgive me. But,
yeah.
You know, I feel like I do, you know, I can talk to my grandfather who has passed, and you know, I believe in spirits, and I believe that they're with us. Well, you know, I definitely believe that. Reincarnation is something that I didn't know and still don't know a whole lot about, you know, trying to learn as much as I can, but focus on, you know, my boys and
mm-hmm.
making, you know, helping them through, helping him through this, and then also, you know, my other son too. So it wasn't that we were in disbelief. At the time, Nancy, we were just whatever would help. You know, whatever, I didn't care at that point. It was just whatever would help. And then, but as soon as Lisa said, you know, a little bit about what she thought and then got you on the phone and we were together, I felt like it was right. I'm a very instinctive gut, I go in my gut, and it felt right. What didn't feel right was, you know, ADD, autism. If that felt right to me, I would have had him at the neurologist. I would have had him, we would have gone that route. But every
mm-hmm.
time we'd go to go down that route, it didn't feel right. And both myself and my husband felt that this was right. So, you know, we're looking, you know, trying to learn more about reincarnation and how we can help them and also, you know, help ourselves, obviously.
Help yourself.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember right, it wasn't a foreign concept because there's a lot of cultures and religious groups in the world who do believe in reincarnation, even if it's not part of your, I was married to a Catholic for 21 years. It wasn't something that we talked about and hard to accept until I got into this. But I think both of you were more open than most people, so you were willing to talk to the child about it. Now, some of the questions that are coming up in here is, and I'm also very excited because I know some of these answers you're going to say. I would please tell the audience. Okay, so now let's get down to some of the things. When I first talked to you, I did describe a man. Remember, these bloods, when I bridge to people during a session, now clearly you're not in the same room with me. You're clear talking beginning. You were talking. You bring up the little boy. And I also got flooded with pictures. And it's not like, oh, Nancy can do this. But what I blended to the little boy, and it was like he flooded me with thoughts because he couldn't express it. And then when you asked him, he got relaxed. He started talking to you. Now let's take that next step. At what point did you start getting a picture? Now, you already told me that he came from the past life man. He comes from a large family. He already told you. So how did he develop the story of that past life? And what information did you find out from him just writing down? And then tell us about that extraordinary little research you did and you started finding out who he was.
It was so exciting. Once we were open to it and kind of open-minded and, okay, we're going to get to the bottom of this and we're going to do it together, basically taking his hand. And so I would try my hardest not to ask leading questions, but always when we were alone, he would start talking about it. And I would try to get a mental picture of what he was talking about. And I wouldn't say anything to him, but I would write that down, or as soon as, you know, I stopped the car, you know, I would write down what mental images I got in my mind. I wouldn't share it with him. I wouldn't do anything. We would do our own exercises. He would, you know, want to draw something and write something, and the story would unfold. And I think talking to you, we were looking outside, we were looking crashes that may have occurred, race cars, things like that. But again, in my gut, I felt like it was closer to home. I felt like it might have been family, not somebody that I didn't know. It was just a feeling that I got. So I would take these images and write down in my notebook, and then I would just sit quietly at night, which is, you know, as a parent, usually I end up falling asleep. But I talked to Lisa, and she says, clear your mind, ask questions, you know, not out loud, but in your mind, and then give permission for, you know, for you to write. And what I got was that it actually, as the story unfolded, mental image, a description and stuff. And what I did was took what my son told me, took those facts, and took the facts that I had, and I would start quizzing my mom. And I said, who in her family had a green car? Who in her family did this? And they were, why are you asking? Like, I just need to know. And so some of the questions I couldn't get answered, so I would move on to another family member. And again, not tell them why, just, you know, I just wanted to know who did this, who lived. And I got actual dates in my mind, which, anyway, it turned out to be a cousin of ours, and he had a son, and that's kind of who it turned out, or I feel like it is. And they, that whole part of that family lived a very tragic life, felt unloved, just, you know, not connected with their mom at all, into drugs, died of pneumonia. I know when we talked, there was some, had been in the war, things like that. The things that you had told me, those, the facts of who it may be, plus the facts that Josh had, had told me, and the other things that I had gotten, all fit together. And it's hard to talk to family members and tell them what you're doing, because the facts that I had were not anything that I would have known, because I don't know that part of the family. It's kind of broken off. It was a first marriage, and you know, my mom is from a second marriage. So those children, they never really, they weren't really part of the family. I didn't know them.
Okay, 662 area code. I'm going to answer you just a few minutes. I want a couple more questions from her to kind of bullet, put the foundation on why we're bringing this up. Now, then 662 area code, I'm going to click you on just a moment. Amy, I want to kind of put a capsule to this so that you then can answer questions, or I can, of the people calling in. What was after, now remember, you already told us his name is Josh. So we're okay with that now. Maybe your husband doesn't want his name on.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. But at the same time, you did ask the family. You were able to find somebody. Now, what we need to bring up and mention again is that this Josh, your son, was able to recognize the type of car that he was killed in.
Mm-hmm.
He also brought up a woman and a child. And from my description, and you're asking the family, I don't know that he came up with any names, but you do live in Virginia. He
mm-hmm.
told you you've been killed on a racetrack in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you able to collaborate any of these facts?
I was able to collaborate some of them. Again, a lot of the pieces are missing because we're not part of that family, and I did find one relative who would, and this would be her father and her brother, and basically the person that I believe it is would be this woman's brother, who
okay.
I haven't talked to. I saw her when I was 3, I think, and that's it.
So this woman's brother is the young man that supposedly was killed. And if I'm going to interject here, you found out, that he had been killed about 20 years ago. And did you find that he had been killed in New Jersey in a car accident?
That was actually the father, yes.
Oh, the father had been killed in a car accident.
Killed, mm-hmm. The
state, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it was on a racetrack or in a race car?
He did a lot of racing, basically street racing.
Ah, it was street racing, okay.
Street racing, gambling, drugs, a really, really hard, not a lot of love, not a lot of family, a very, very hard life. And the son also kind of repeated that pattern.
So the son that he left behind after he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born 20 years after the death of this man. So
yeah.
The son is now growing up and is taking on the same life. I'd like to get on 662 area code. I've been sitting for quite a while and find out what the question is. And I'm trying to write down as fast as I can some of these. Why do some people remember and others do not? Very clearly, I think we choose to remember or choose not to. As I've gotten more into the metaphysics, and remember this is a challenge for me to also believe in this, I'm getting more, and it's because I do for a living that I do this. But I do believe that there's some spontaneously remember, and I think some spontaneously of awareness comes from a past life. Like people say, well, I didn't know I could accomplish that. It was so easy for me. I think that's past life of memory. Who's on now at 662 area code? Who am I speaking to?
Lysandra.
Hello, Lysandra.
Hi.
What can we do for you tonight?
I was just wondering, could you tell me about my past life?
Hold on. What state? Oh, I should ask. What state are you calling from?
I'm in Texas.
You're Texas. Hello, young lady. You've actually come into this lifetime. Now, Amy, just let me answer her real quick. You come into this lifetime with a masculine dominant personality. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are a man last time, but I do see you as a man. Now, what is happening in life right now, it makes me think you're trying to learn to assert yourself or get more power. So a man has come forward that used to be a butcher. And what I'm saying is he was a strong man, a powerful person with large arms. And I don't know, since you live in Texas, kind of, you live in a cattle state, but I'm not assuming that that's where you are from. I do see this man
of
a dark...
Mississippi.
This man, well, I misunderstood you. The man I'm looking for looks more Mediterranean with dark skin and a large, heavier body. And it makes me think I see the chopper block. Now, the only thing I can get from this is that you did bring the dominance of a male personality forward. I see him as a moody man, as a man who thought greatly in his own mind. He wasn't necessarily not social, but he took time to be social. He was more of a quieter individual. So take the information I just told you and see if it applies to you right now, because the dominance of this is applying to you now. What was real interesting, as I was telling you about that, I see a ballerina coming forward, and it makes me think I'm turning the century, possibly Russian. In Russia, ballerinas were pampered and taken well care of. So I would be curious to know if you were, as a child, a ballerina or a dancer. I'd also be interested in knowing if you could talk to your mother about you thinking you were a princess as a child. Now, a lot of the girls do, but I'm talking over the top. I'd be curious to know if you talk to your mother and say, well, that fits you as a child. And I don't know if you have a Russian background, but I would say that that continent with the ballerina was very important. Do you recognize anything I've just told you?
I love dolls a lot, and some of it...
Come to me very, very fast.
Yeah, some of it is familiar with me. Some of it's not. But I just
some
have
of it
to ask
is,
her.
Pardon me?
I have to ask her.
Ask your mom, Alessandra, and I'd love to have an email from you so I can read it on the air of what you found out. You're at the 60 minutes left. So if you want to go back, download this and have your mom listen to it and see on the show, about half hour into it, have her listen and see what applies to you then and what applies to you now. It may help you with what you're going through right this minute of self-assuredness, okay?
Can I ask you one question?
Oh, I can't help. Let me go on and get to Amy. Email me a question or call me next week, sweet. Talk to you later, dear.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
I apologize. I didn't know where she said Mississippi. But this is what's real interesting, that people call in and they say, I've had tendency for this, I've had tendency for that. As a youngster, I was not into dolls at all, Amy. I was very tomboyish. And as a mother, my first husband and I were long-distance runners and horse people. But I'm every much a feminine woman. I love long hair and fingernails and jewelry. So it kind of was a conflict to me until I had my first past life regression. And most of my lifetimes that were shown to me were all men. So it seems like I've brought a dominance of male into this lifetime, though I'm very much, and what makes you laugh, I'm sure some of these women out in the audience, I'm only 5'4". And most of my life have been quite slim, and I've always felt like I've been shoved into a body too little. I fight with my size, and I know you're a little person too, so it's always been a baffle to me. How come I'm not a bigger person? Not that I want to be. You know, girls out in the audience, anything about what I wear now is I'll wear my ties tight and clothes tight until I can fit back into them, but at the same time, I've struggled with the size I am. It felt like I should have been 5'10", or 11, or 6 foot. Which didn't make any sense, but now it does. Okay, you have the floor again. I'd like you to let us know how your son is doing and what memories he is still talking about and what you're encouraging. I know you're keeping a diary. I know you're keeping a portfolio on him to let the audience know what to expect. He's about 5 now. Did he start school yet?
He just turned 5, actually, last week. So, yay.
Oh, boy. Yay.
I know. I know he'll be starting school next week. Actually, Wednesday, we have kindergarten orientation, which is fantastic. But the growth that he's made, and I think my husband and I have made, I think that that's a huge thing, not so much the child. I actually have written down that I wanted to share with you, and I'm so sorry I jumped all over. I was just really excited to share this with everyone, is that, you know, how can I help him be at peace with himself? But also I think that this is a wake-up call for parents as well, and what can we learn through our children? Because, and I don't know if this is right, Nancy, if I'm so wrong, please let me know, that that possibly these lives come back, and this is happening absolutely for a reason, not only for this person, you know, to come back as well, but also to teach those around that little one or that person that's having that past life regression or the past life, to teach those around a lesson as well. So it kind of really opened up our eyes that this isn't just, you know, poor behavior, or this isn't just a problem that we have to solve, but really open our eyes. And I have to remind myself of that every day, that, you know, okay, we need to look beyond and then just and go through, you know, what do we need to learn from this experience as well. So I know for myself and my husband that really helped us a lot, which calmed things down to deal with the behavior a lot better. It was, you know, our understanding was a lot more now, that it wasn't just him acting out, you know, that there were things behind it, and that helped us as well as helped him. He still has difficult days. I will admit that our children are spoiled beyond belief, but, you know, we deal with that and lack of sleep and stuff, but the behavior has gotten a lot better. He will curl up and go to sleep now. Pretty much the minute his head hits the pillow, he's not afraid to go to sleep. He's not afraid that he's going to be taken in the middle of the night. He's a lot better as far as talking about things. We kind of go in spurts. He'll not talk about things for a while, and then he'll start to want to draw them. So he'll ask me, he'll come to me and draw something, and then write a little story, and then we post it on there. I know when the ghosts were worrying him and things like that, my husband actually went out with him and got the ghost, and I won't go into any more details as far as that goes, but we also drew a picture, and I wrote the words that you told me to tell him, get as mad as he could, tell them that this was, you know, not their life, and it was his, and they had to listen to him, so it gave him strength. But
I was wondering.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're doing great. I'm wondering, as I was reflecting on the word ghost, I'm wondering his interpretation of ghosts may be memories that are flooding from his memory and being presented to him in the room. My feeling is, as you said earlier, I'm just remembering what you said, that the son of who he was in the past has carried on the same journey, yet you mentioned earlier of a ghost as a child, of infant. So my thinking is that the ghost he's seen is actually the memories of that past life being flooded in his mind. He's seen that outside of his own body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about how is the oldest child you have, and we didn't mention his first name, is okay with this storyline that the youngest one is getting.
Yeah, because he actually has a house right next door to his, and he has a matching, you know, it's a bit of, I don't want to say fantasy, because I believe that both of them are very in tune. They should have been twins. They were just born 15 months apart, you know. But basically, my elder son is right with him. They actually have created their story of it. His house is right next door to Josh's house. He has a similar car. They have, if one doesn't have something, the other one borrows it. So it's pretty cool how kids are and how resilient they are and how willing to work together. So they work together really well, and there's not any resentment, you know, or anything as far as that goes.
Okay, so recap this. Your older one is about 6 and a half, and they have bedrooms next door. They're very much alike.
Mm-hmm.
And so the oldest boy is a witness to the storyline. He doesn't appear to be jealous. If he shows interest, that's good. For other families that might have one special child, be sure you, and I did talk to you about this, is make sure the oldest child has an equal amount of time spent. For you, for your husband and you to be so gracious as to believe the boy, it's very, very important. The other side of the coin is that we had this question come up, why do some people remember and others do not? Like I said earlier, for the interest of the life you are living, if it helps you to develop your soul and your growth, you will be allowed to remember. That is the bottom line. Let's see, and the 13-year-old now who had, at the age of three, had a lot of past memories, can you get them back? Absolutely. But you have to bring forth drawings that child did or stories that they did, because sometimes those storylines, say the one that had 13-year-old question in there, a child 13, at three she had these kind of memories. If you can recap what she told you or bring forth the drawings, if you have anything like that, it should help that child remember. Child prodigies are usually past life situations. I'm trying to remember in my own family. My sister, Bonnie, who lives in Seattle, has a mole above her right ear. And after a while, after coming to this, I start thinking about her, and she can play a piano by listening to a song and then playing it out. To me, that's a child prodigy kind of an issue. I have a memory that come forth of being shot in the neck, and it's interesting, I've always had trouble with my voice. That's why I went into engineering and accounting as careers, because I didn't have to talk, and look what I do for a living. So you will have, the audience listening will have phobias, or you could have wounds from past life show up as scars or molds. You could have a weakness in your body from a past life issue. We don't have time, if the people are willing to stay on just a little longer. I got into a period of time when I was doing a past life according to my visions of wounds, and Jill and Laura were best friends, and we met up with them, and I was telling Jill, and she was a very tall, I think almost 6 foot tall, and I saw a sword devour her, and we were talking, and I said, my gosh, I'm seeing a sword go from hip bone to shoulder, and it was very gruesome, and she started taking her top off in the middle of a restaurant, and she says, my gosh, I have to show you this. I said, don't, just tell me. And she says, why would you believe me? She said, as a child, she had gallbladder surgery, and then they got in there and found other problems, and she had a scar from her hip bone up to her breastbone. And over the years, lectures, I've also done things like this. So those of you who sit in the audience, there's a gentleman named Tom. He just gave me an amazing amount of information. Even a child prodigy who could skip classes, very intelligent individual here, it may be that he was a past life person so old that going to school was a mundane routine and easy to skip through because he was able to conquer classes very quickly. I really believe that's possible. As a child, Tom, I learned to read about 4 and a half. And nowadays, people can read earlier. But what was interesting is that I have an amazing memory. Those of you who have talked to me, I can remember things. I'm the queen of stories. But my mother used to say, I looked at words and I could memorize it. And so I had amazing memorization. And I don't know where it comes from, but if it came from a past life, so be it. How can a child learn to memorize that way? So I believe that the talent people have can also come from a past life, and that's what I brought up earlier. One person had asked, is it possible we have past life elsewhere? I read a lot, and I listen to a lot of radio shows of people I really have respect for. And most of the people type in, Nancy, too, many fears we have come up from this. You know, a Pisces lady says, Nancy, is it true many fears we have come from these memories of past lives? Absolutely. Instead of phobias, I would like to bring up two authors. There are so many out there, I could hardly list all of them. Dr. Brian Weiss, Many Lives, Many Masters. Healing Through Time, Only Love is Real, are absolute masters. I encourage everybody to read them. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, he believes past life, present life, future lives, all are connected. As you love before, you love in this life, you can love in last future lifetime of the same individuals. Healing Through Time implies if you have a past life relationship that does not work out, ends tragedy like Amy's child. What he's doing is past life woundology and emotionalities bring forth in this lifetime to a loving, calming family environment in which his, Josh, I'm talking about your son, can now heal the past life regrets. unfortunately, his son now has taken that same role. So as this child grows, if he were to connect to this child, who knows what could happen. But clearly, this is a generational type of situation. Let's see. Question. I love this one. Anybody in the audience remember their birth date? There was in Northern California, a rebirthing classes that were done. And there are some people who do hypnotherapy or whole classes where she will bring you down to a place of remembering your actual birth. I gave a lecture in Folsom, California, many years ago, probably 13 to 15, and I called it Closure. And Marge from Rancho Cordova, if you have a chance to order, if you want to, she gave a wonderful explanation of what being born looks like. I can't say it's too long, but really amazing stories. Let's see here, what was the other one? We did mention why he was having speaking problems initially, and that's because the memories of the past life, even if he couldn't speak English, pictures are shown to him of past life that was very disturbing, Karen, and that's why I believe he couldn't sleep. Okay, Amy, why don't you take the floor again and talk about how your son is doing. Any further investigation? I think we did not mention, I did mention he was able to describe the car, but you had brought to him, or he had gone to visit someone who was a toy car collector, and he went over to the particular car that he was killed in and said this was the vehicle. Is that correct?
We actually searched online and would go online, and he would describe to me different things. I would bring up pictures of cars. The child has good taste in music, which doesn't come from me, and cars. Anyway, so we would go online, and we would narrow it down. We actually printed out a couple of cars that he thought it was like. It's so hard because they have the memory, I think, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, they have a memory of like a 40-year-old man. Those thoughts are running through a 3- and 4-year-old child. And I cannot imagine how frustrating that is. And frustration is what I saw. I see some frustration now, but not anything like I saw. But we printed out a couple of cars that actually looked like the cars that he felt like it was. One was this green Lotus, and another one that he actually picked out. He carries it around with him, and I forget the kind of model of the car. Oh, you know, you're right. We went to a store, and he picked out a little green car, a little Matchbox car that he said, "That's my car. That's my car, Mommy." So we actually got that car, and he carries it around. So that was pretty, and he's very, very specific about it, you know, how the tires looked, how the hood looked, how the, you know, inside, it was just very specific, you know, and I'm into cars, but not that much. Ask me about model trains, I'm fine, but he's very, very specific, you know, and some of the other things, it's kind of fun to learn about the person that that I feel like it is, or the two people that I actually feel like have a lot of say or a lot of his past.
Go ahead. Okay, everybody. It is not streaming. I'm not sure. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Let me know. Okay, great. I unfortunately have lost our little Amy. I don't know if she can hear. And it's not, its switchboard is on, but I'm not sure that I'm in. Can you hear me now? Okay, so we need to start talking, and I will wait for Amy to come on in. It's really a shame. I had a very interesting question of someone calling in and asked chat room saying, is it possible to have lives on other planets and parallel universes? I was telling you earlier, I listened to Coast to Coast AM, and the theory now is that this is two or three different theories that we're in multiple dimensions and parallel universes. One of the books I want to write is The Stories of Diane. Diane, in the middle of the night, got up to go to the restroom and found herself in a parallel universe. And since that time, Steve Hawkins does believe there's parallel universes up to 11 coexisting with us, and I'm not positive that they're all just 1 millimeter width. I do believe that we coexist with other possibilities. And the other theory out there now is one soul can be split with multiple parallel universes where we live out the same character but have different storylines. I think I've told most of my audience that the live show, 37 minutes on, most of you know that I had cancer at 39, and 6 months later I divorced my husband of 21 years. Well, how about one parallel universe I did die and experience dying? In another universe, I did not get divorced. So it could be that there are so many scenarios that are played out that it can be experienced that soul to have many different options. The other thing that's very interesting is that only a few times in my career have I actually talked to somebody and a different life form was presented to me. And it was really unusual. I went to a group channeling. And the lady was reading, the gal sitting in front of me, and if anybody was in the audience, let me know. I'm always open to emails. And the woman was telling about a past life where she was being affected by what she was going through. And the minute she said this, I saw the woman as a vaporous life form. The other time was a gal who had a hard time questioning responsibility. And she was a young woman who just didn't seem to fit in. And when I was talking to her, I actually saw this on a TV show presented by History Station of the possibility of life on other planets, and I saw her as a balloon kind of a creature, almost like a jellyfish, and they actually brought that up on the show, that why can't we accept different lifetimes, different ways, and this jellyfish kind of a creature was able to float in air on a different planet. So unfortunately, my little Amy is not calling in. There's not. Oh, there she is. So we're going to bring her back on. There she is. I was just letting the company know that talking in the chat room, we were talking about the possibility of life on different planets. One of the things I'm doing, Amy, is I'm trying to get to a place where I'm drawing more. And I'm getting, when I draw spirit people, Karen and I are getting into hitchhikers. I want to draw those spirits. Other I'm doing is I've actually had visions of future, and one of the planets, I believe, we're talking about extraterrestrial, actually I believe in that now, and we can have other life experiences elsewhere. What makes us think that we can't? One person asked me, if it's possible past life, there are more people alive on the planet today than there has been all existence. Well, that is only good and true if there's only one place we can have a life experience. So I believe there's multiple dimensions and parallel universes in which we can have other life experiences. The maturity of who we are in this lifetime, growing from new soul to many lifetimes, why not have those life experiences, the maturity growth on other planets, other parallel universes? So I really am sorry that we lost you and you were midstream of, Tom is saying there's a couple in here that are really giving some really good thoughts. We talked about psychic ability. Yes, Eagle Scout, I was born with psychic. My father was a medium. He was very intuitive. He knew of his death 3 weeks and then 3 days before he was killed. And 3 days before he was killed by a drunk driver was my last memory of him and telling him not to leave the house, that we would never see him again. Does that mean I have a past life where I was a psychic? It's hard to tell. I never have had a vision of me being a reader before. Yet I did have a vision once of me being a lady who always seemed to show up the chicken noodle soup when someone would get sick. So maybe that's that kind of ability. That was a few centuries back. So, Amy, what point did you realize that we were no longer online? We were cut off somehow. You were talking about how he had found his car online and that he had actually gone to a store and picked up a little green car and was carrying around with him.
Yes, for probably the next two months, that car was extremely important to him. And again, he would take whatever his possession of the day, but that car was it for about 2 months, would take it and shove it inside his pillow case, and he would sleep on that pillowcase. Again, like he, all his worldly possessions were in that pillowcase, and he would sleep on it so nobody can get it, which, you know, I feel so bad for him. And then that actually stopped. He actually feels like he's safer in his environment. He trusts that things aren't going to be taken away and things like that. You know, just things are a lot calmer now, as calm as they can be with two little boys. But
as calm as it could be with two small boys in the household.
Yes.
I was thinking that perhaps this mistrust, you can appreciate, though his life might have been difficult, that loss of life as a young man would be a sense of being robbed, mm-hmm. or that things would be taken from him as his life had been. So learning to trust could have been that he was into what we call the fringe of society, mm-hmm. or that he was killed and he had a great sense of loss.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tight possessions would be that he feels secure. I'm not sure.
It's knowing a little bit more about the person that I believe, you know, he has within him, or those memories of. I absolutely believe that, you know, what you carried on you, that you had to hold on to, because it could be stolen, it could be taken away. If I think about the life of what I know a drug addict would be, somebody who's kind of constantly homeless and then off again, on again, on the streets, which this person definitely was, that's how he acts. That's how my son acted before. Now he acts like, you know, a little boy who has a home that's a stable environment, and, you know, not like he's brought up on the streets. It's just, it's crazy. It just was really hard to take in, and broke our hearts that he acted like, you know, that he was homeless, that he had to just walk around with these things all the time and take them with him because they weren't going to be home when we got home. That's not the type of lifestyle that we have lived or live, you know, but yet he acted that way, and he acted like he was an orphan, and, you know, as a parent, it's just heartbreaking. But as we worked through it, and as that trust, and honestly, at night after they went to bed, I would just sit by his bed and say, you know, I know what you've been through, and I understand. And I would call this person by their name that they lived in, you know, that I thought it was. And I would say, I understand, and I am so sorry that you went through this. Nobody should have ever had to go through that. You did not deserve a life like that. But you need to, you know, this is Josh's life, and he needs to live this life. And, you know, those memories are okay, but how can I help you? How can I help you get through this? What can I do? What can we do as a family to make this right and not make those same mistakes that you had to live? You know, so you're not going to have to go through those painful things again. You will live a new, you know, a new life, a different life. And you are not going to have the life that you had. You're not going to, you know, come from a broken home, I hope. I don't want to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not going, you don't have that life. That is not anymore. You are loved. You know, we will always love you no matter what happens. And he asks every single day. My son asks both my husband and I, you know, why do we love him so much? Will we always love him? And the scenarios he comes up with, some are just heinous. Like, I don't know where that's coming from, to, you know, what if I did this and it's, you know, not a big thing? What if I spilt the milk and, you know, the next one, what if, you know, somebody is disemboweled? And I'm like, okay, you know,
wow.
We always love you no matter what. We may not like what you do. We may be upset, but that doesn't mean that we won't love you. We will always love you, and we will work through whatever it is together. And then he calms down. And, you know, you can just see a sense of peace. But every day he asks for that reassurance. And even if he doesn't bring it up, we make sure that we verbally tell both of our boys that, you know, we love them. And, you know, just make sure that we actually say it verbally. We just make a point of it every day. So, but
that's a very powerful. I want to make sure that nothing interrupted that wonderful. You are telling this soul that he's come back in Josh's life,
mm-hmm.
and that you will always love him, and he won't have to play it out, because it clearly, as I'm learning, the past life intrusion is interfering with Josh's life. And that's why, audience, we're not always previewed to always remember the past, because if you brought up every lifetime that was most pertinent, most closest to where you were before, I think it would interfere. I can't imagine if I'd had Josh's prior life. I've never had those kind of issues, and hopefully he never will, but it would be terrible to have those kinds of memories. I have a young person here write in, K-E-K-E. Wow, what a powerful statement. When she was about ready to have a child, and unfortunately I've scrolled, I'm trying to find where you would written that in, something about the grandfather said he needed to die for the child to be born. You know, I just don't have all the answers on this, but it's not the first time that I've heard of someone dying at the same time. I'm telling you the truth. If I could remember, I've had two or three scenarios where in the hospital, a woman, a family member, was dying the same time a child was being born. Edgar Casey believed that with the first breath, a soul goes into flesh. He wrote 9 books. He died in 1945. He predicted his own birth after the first of the year, around 2000. So I really do believe that was a gentleman whose 9 books, I have probably every copy he wrote, plus all the family members' subsequent writings. But he did believe that. When I enter a blend with somebody, do a reading, I wrap myself energetically around someone's shoulders, enter to the soul level, to the where our air goes into our lungs. And I believe that's the center of our soul. So I'm not going to say this child was born soulless, but if that was grandfather coming in and that child needs to be born with that soul, I think that's possible. But that's a powerful statement to be said. Now, Amy, getting back, I want to make sure I try to answer some of these things that people are writing in, because they're very, very amazing questions. But there's one thing you didn't bring up. You said that this Josh, the past life man that died, left a woman, and the son now seems to be in his 20s going down the path the father had. But you've not mentioned the woman. Did you find out that he had been married to this woman, or was it an illegal, a birth outside of marriage? Is she still alive? Is there any way to find out who that is?
That I honestly don't know, because the woman that I need to speak with, which is the sister of this person, he's actually dead. The father passed away, and the son as well also passed away probably right about the time that Josh was born.
Oh, my, 20 years. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he died. I don't know if – I know that there was a woman – I know that there's a child. I don't know how many, because it gets really, I don't have anybody to confirm it with unless I call my cousin, who's a very distant cousin, you know, and come off like a crazy person or, you know, we haven't talked in, you know, almost 40 years, but
oh my gosh,
for you, can you tell me about your brother? You know, so what I'd like to do is rekindle that relationship and then, you know, get to know them, which is another positive thing. It's a broken apart family, which should not be, you know. So that's another thing. It is going to bring our family together, bring that part of the family into, you know, this part of the family and have that connection so that my son will have a connection with, you know, her children, which would be the cousins.
So was he married to this woman?
I don't know. I don't know if he was married or if they just had a child together or children, and I don't know how many there are there.
And so we didn't know if she got married and had another family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's just such a journey, you know, and every day. It was frantic in the, you know, a couple months ago, and every, you know, so often, you know, every week there's another drawing that pops up that comes out of him, or it'll be every 2 weeks. And so we just do that. We've got a little portfolio, and then we start to look at pictures. I'm trying to get pictures of them, of the people that, or the person that I think it is with his family, as much as I can, but I have none of those pictures, and my mom doesn't have those pictures, nor does my uncle. So
Kathy just asked that. She said, never mind. Nancy, do they have pictures that they could share with her son? Do you have any pictures of this family that you've lost track, you know, they passed away? Do you have pictures of him from a prior life or anything that you could share with him?
I don't. All those pictures, because the breakup was bad and because they were so, like, the black sheep of the family, because they were this particular person and his father, who when I was young was probably in his 30s, I think. They were into racing and gambling and drugs, and that was just not our family at all, and didn't tolerate it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his lifestyle, he actually died of a pneumonia, and then the son actually died in the car crash with head trauma. And so,
oh, I remember you telling that. So the father, the little boy was telling the story, and maybe I misunderstood. The man that he was actually died of pneumonia,
mm-hmm.
and it was his son that died in the car accident?
Yes, he died in a car crash. High-speed car crash. They were like a drag racing type of thing going on. And got in a really bad car accident, a lot of head trauma. He was also born with brain injuries, not anywhere so severe, but it did cause autistic-like, you know, things that he would do, you know.
Okay. So we still are, I want to make sure that I didn't misunderstand, the audience would get confused. So the man he was did have a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so your son was born with wiring issues,
mm-hmm.
because the man had died of severe brain injury. Wow.
Yes.
That's what I was speaking to earlier, and I'm not sure if you got lost at that point, but my sister has the size of a bullet mole above her right ear. And I was saying earlier that one of my memories, because I've been in business so long, I was talking to somebody about being a youth, blonde hair, being shot and killed with a bullet wound to my neck. And it's always been difficult for me to talk long time. I always have a cup of coffee, but I believe it's because I was wounded in a past life through the throat.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing where, you know, he's got, and it's hard to say, but he doesn't have freckles like my other little guy. You know, he's totally just, you know, clear-complected as far as that goes. But he's got one dot by the base of his skull, essentially, like a little birthmark, and that's it. And it's just, it's all interesting to me, and it's just a new discovery, you know, every day to learn a little bit more about it. It's taking longer than what I want. I want answers yesterday. I am not a very patient person as far as, okay, this is what I want to know.
That's your children.
And
you know, you just talked to me with a very interesting thought. I saw myself as a blonde male, very young, I would say teenager, getting killed. But I was wondering, now that you know who it was that was killed in this car accident, is there any physical characteristics other than the brain thing? Is he the same coloring? Is he tall like this guy was? Is there any physical similarities at all?
It's hard to say. I don't know, because I keep popping back and forth between the son and the father. So I don't know which one, you know, because it's kind of both of them. It's, you know, I get a little bit of both. The characteristics, his hair is lays flat, like I remember his father's laid flat. Like I met him one time, I think I was, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5, I honestly don't remember. I remember 3, but I don't know if I could have a memory. I had an eye connection with him. I remember him bending down and him saying, "Hi, my name is, but your parents and my father don't want me to be around." I think he was, you know, on drugs at the time from what my parents tell me, but I remember that connection. And when this came through, Josh's hair looks exactly like, you know, like this person's hair looks. So, you know, that's interesting. The jazz connection, the music that my son likes, the his mannerisms are very much what my mother remembers to be and what my uncle remembers his to be.
So we have talents and interests the same.
Yes.
I've heard over the years, Edgar Casey had a particular facial look, and have people come and claim they were Edgar Casey. There's somebody out now who claims to be a reincarnation of Edgar Casey. I'm not saying no, but facial characteristics seem very, very familiar. So I have found it interesting over the years that people think that they look like themselves in a past life, yet I've had not a lot of experience with that. But in this case, there seems to be some physical characteristics that could be the same. Most of you, remember, I've had a few lifetime remembrances. My mother's side of family are American Indians, so if you see my picture there, my hair is really dark. I actually have had past life remembrances of being an Indian. And I clearly, even though I look like it, I don't associate with the Indian culture. Never even occurred to me. My son, who does look like me, lives that Indian culture look. He has Indian tattoos on his body. So I think that he also could have had a past life as Indian, but that soul memories are brought forth and is part of who Derek is. My son has a very Indian face, and he looks like an Indian. And when he was in college, he put the tattoos on. Wow. And I find that very important. My daughter, who looks like her dad, is a blonde, blue-eyed, was as a child, and has no association with Indian at all. So I kind of wonder if a past life influence would come in, and though not less they look like it, but here's a kid, yours, Josh, who may even resemble the past life influence important. I look like Indian, but I don't have that important in my life. My son looks like me, but it's very important in his life. I find that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. There, I just think it's going to be neat to see what talents come out, like, you know, with your son, what's important to him and what comes out, even though it's not important to us, but actually comes out through our children, what they remember, and, you know, to be supportive of that, you know, as a parent, and also as, I don't know, a steward, or, you know, to help these past lives. And I don't know if and maybe you can help me, you know, and the other people as well. Can we help this past life deal with some of the things that they were dealing with in this particular life and put them to bed and then move on, which helps this life and also the past life? I don't even know if that's possible.
Did you have any information what this fella did other than racing cars? Did he have an occupation at all?
I from what I can gather, he worked with his hands. I think, I don't know if woodworking or something in that realm would be something that actually my grandfather taught him as a trade. So,
and what was it again, one more time?
I'm sorry?
What was that again? I didn't quite hear you.
Oh,
what was
working
it?
With his hands, and I don't know if it was woodworking or...
Oh, okay. That's what I understand.
And I'm honestly not 100%. I cannot wait to speak to my cousin and really reconnect and find out and get pictures and things like that. That's our next step for this summer, because she's not too far away, a couple of hours, you know, a state or two, you know, not that big of a deal to possibly, you know, talk on the phone and then actually meet and find out a little bit more, you know, about her father's life and also her brother's life too. Because she's the only survivor. She had the father, and he actually had three children, this girl and then the two boys. The two boys are since passed along with him. So
I'm not sure of all the stories I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the past life, and someone had asked me last time how many past life regressions I've done. I probably am close to 50-ish time numbers. It's not something I do every day. I know the audience knows I do readings every day. So how many 20,000 readings in 20 years, who knows? But what I've gotten, clearly there is a very small percentage of people, except for the prodigies, that carry one occupation to the next. My feeling is your son will get into a place where most boys work on cars, but I feel like he's more of an intellect. I don't know what your family does for careers, but it makes me think he may go into electronics, computers, mechanisms. And that could be cultural, too, because everything from this day forth, you know, we're going to have computers bombard every aspect of our working environments. So it's kind of hard to say there'd be a parallel there, but it may not stop you from having the same hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that could be very interesting. Like I said, my sister, who can play the piano by hearing a song, clearly she works for a legal firm. I have an engineering background, but both my parents were commercial artists. But I'm an artist also. So you can see where what we've inherited from our parents. My husband had an engineering degree. I was in engineering. My son couldn't help but be a space engineer. So there you are. But he was an Indian. Indians work with their hands. Who knows? I think that Josh is going to be emotionally healthy by the time he's 7. And that's what I was telling one gal earlier here. I feel like the age of reason is around 7, 8 to 9. And I wanted to bring up a movie. Jane Seymour was in a great movie, and I think I mentioned to you, Amy, called Yesterday's Children.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a story based on truth of a woman in England who found her family in Ireland. And the story in present time is this woman, as a child, would draw pictures and talk about where she lived before. She actually drew streets. And that's what I had told you, Amy, is to have this boy remember any drawing, anything by drawing, building, street addresses, numbers, you know, the freeways, anything to help you pin down exact location, not for a test, but for future. And Jane Seymour plays a woman who goes to Ireland. In true life, the woman finds that she's had 7 children. For movie purposes, Jane Seymour finds that she's had the 5, and the of the 5 are living. She reintroduces herself as the mother they had in the new carnation. Wonderful, amazing story. So a lot of movies are coming out, and I apologize for not giving credit to all the wonderful authors out there that present stories of past life remembrances. There must be as many books on that as there is on any other. I'm looking at my shelf up here. I would have to go over there and grab dozens of books. So on nancymatz.com, I do have a link page. I promise in the next few days I will start typing in, listing all the books I've read for past life information. I think they even have a book for dummies on hypnosis if you're interested. You cannot hypnotize yourself into another existence, ladies and gentlemen, but you can relax yourself. One of the exercises that the Spirit of Grace taught me, and that's the Spirit of Grace that I learned to be a spiritual minister, one of the churches, that is, you would sit in a semi-darkened room with a small candle for illumination, sit in front of on the floor in a couple positions, comfortable position in front of a big mirror. And you hold one of those teacup-sized candles, a small lit flame, and just sit it down and just look at your eyes in the mirror. You may have to do it two or three times, no more than 15 minutes the first night, and you ask for past life faces. And I was amazed that I was able to do this. The other way would be have a friend, knee-to-knee, separate chairs, of course, sit across from each other, both of you holding a very small teacup-sized candle. Look into the other person's eyes and ask that you see a past life for them, and you will be given a visual illumination of a past life that you can then describe to them when you're done what they were presented. I did it, like I said, it was in the early 90s. We did it in a classroom facing a friend and in the privacy of a home, and that was very, very fascinating. The other thing is that in Sacramento area, Northern California, I think it was Sierra College, Junior College, or was it Learning Exchange, there was a gentleman that did a room of past life regression work. I don't know if he does it anymore. But there are people out there that will give a brief past life regression. Even my husband had gone all the way to Phoenix, which is a good 3-hour drive, to have a past life regression. It didn't work. And the reason is that you have to be relaxed, accepting, not judgmental of what you're going to get. And I think that we have a tendency to be afraid to influence a past life regression because of what we think we may want to see. One of the most profound past life I had was seeing myself in the time of early 2,000 years ago, Roman army, and I was a wheel maker. And in that storyline, I also was a runner, and most of you know that I love running in this lifetime. I was a runner in that lifetime. So it's hobbies that are brought forth that essay that I'm going to build a wheel from now on. But the past life was a non-judgmental one. It was actually when I woke up, I was quite disappointed. I said, you mean that's all I was? I'm nobody famous. How many people out there are Cleopatra? But I was a wheel maker. And I think that 99% of the people go through a past life experience thinking they're going to be somebody that they think it is, and it's not going to be anything what they're expecting. So for those who want to experiment with this, is have past life regression, just being open to what they can receive. I would not expect or encourage anybody to put a child through a past life regression. I only would encourage it from moderate 15, 16 years and older, but the fun of it, not to have any expectations. For those of you, and Karen is on this floor here with the chat room, hello there, Karen, again, is that if you want a professional, I can lend you a name of Karen in Sacramento, California, a clinical hypnotherapist that you trust for phobias, because you have to be brought to a place in a past life regression situation where there's no fear. When I do past life regression, I always interject, there'll be no pain, no fear, and fast getaway. That if you want to end the session, you have to be able to release yourself from that trauma and be brought forth safely. So don't get your friend to learn how to do past life regression. Dr. Boyland, yes, absolutely. Check out Dr. Boyland's website. He's also in Northern California, and he deals with hypnotherapy and past life regression work and all kinds, and so does Karen, and she's a hypnotherapist, and if you get hold of me, I'll give you her phone number. Karen, if you want your website out there, please give it to me. Okay, and Star Children, Tom says, UFO and Star Children with Dr. Richard Boyland, B-O-Y-L-A-N. So we have 4 minutes left. I know Amy is still on the air. I want to give a plug for a group that I'm connected with, California Haunts. I'm doing a blog talk radio show with them. I think it's next week, the 28th. Yes, I think so. And we also created a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock California time, a webcam talk show. And both californiahaunts.org, nancymaps.net, or .com will have this blog talk radio button and stick am.com website location. And I always encourage emails, nancy@nancymaps.com, for future talk show suggestions. And if you would like to follow up with Amy, I won't give you her email address or her phone number, but if you afford questions to me, if it's legitimate, if you want to connect, I'll ask her permission, and then I'll set you two to be connected, especially you moms out there where we have children involved. Either I'll help you or you want some suggestions from her, she will help you. We are also putting this book together. She's going to do that later on, a few years from now, she'll be completely done, and we will have it published so that you and the audience know of anybody else that needs child help within a couple of years, Amy. Is that right? We want to get out probably a couple of years?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think we're waiting, if Renee is listening, we're waiting to get finalization of all these people. We want proof, just like in the movie Forever, Yesterday's Children, for that one click. We got enough information. There was a car accident. This young man did die in 20 years ago. There's a brain issue thing with the boy, not that there was a problem, but wiring possibly from past life influence, and it seems like we've got a legitimate past life condition. The other thing we want to mention in 2 minutes is only left, if this show will give you proof of survival, that is our goal, past life intrusion, no matter how painful, we can help this child have a normal, wonderful life. If the parents will get something from this, and relax and enjoy their life because we do survive, we do go on. And it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we survive, but we actually can come back. That's a hoot, Amy. I love it. Any last comments? Maybe 2 minutes left. You can tell the audience anything else that we didn't discuss that you think is really important.
I have so much to say, but I really thank you for this time and for this opportunity. And if there's somebody out there that you even think that this could be, you know, something, I would recommend just going to Nancy, talking to her. If it's not, it's not. You know, but if it is, you know, how fantastic to actually help your child, you know, and not fit them into a box of what, people think, and just to be open-minded so that your child can have a good life and help your family as well.
This has really encouraged me to have. In the future, if you want Amy back on, please email me and let me know. But I'm also going to investigate a connection I've just made with people who have lived through near-death experiences. I don't share it very often, but I almost died when I was 6 years old, just seven, excuse me, had my tonsils out, and I almost bled to death. And I've had memories of something, and a girlfriend tried to tell me I had a near-death experience. I don't know if I own that. But it certainly brought a lot of interest to me when I then got cancer. So Amy, along with other people out there who have extraordinary lives, I hope you have an extraordinary life raising this wonderful child of yours. And please keep connected with me. Let me know what's going on. I will also tell my audience, and I will put on my website. We'll have a page for Amy now, and maybe we'll connect and put some information together for you. How's that?
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you get a decent night's sleep. I've kept you up with past midnight, my dear, and you're just fabulous. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
All right, dear. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. It's been just great. Thank you, Tom, everybody, Eagle Scout, Pisces Lady, Kathy, Karen. We had quite a few dozen on tonight. It's been fun, all of you, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you. Good night.